fired up and ready to go here, so.
March 7th, Willamette Federwig.
Is that okay for people? It's not gonna put anybody to sleep. Alright, I just work here and Rich is running the meetings. where he went, but
yeah,
we might as well.
To the restroom.
Okay, yeah, actually, that's restrooms are down either to the left or to the right, depending on which way you want to go. There's that fascinating, like, 1972 map of the entire region, which, you know, just like, it's kind of cool on its own if you want to look at that.
Get the phone going. Okay.
Yeah,
stuff.
you wanna yes. Rock and roll?
Yeah, thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
I didn't bring a sign-in sheet though.
Okay, we'll get one passed around. Do we ask who's on the phone yet?
There was only us so far.
Just us so far.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good morning on the phone.
Hey, Rich. Good morning. It's Fenton.
Hey, Fenton. Good timing. We are just getting started.
Good.
Are we also able to log in on a webinar this morning?
Did you set one up?
I do have one, but if it's only Fenton, you probably received all of the materials, so we probably...
So I don't need a webinar, and I'm in the field, I don't have internet access anyway, but I do have that presentation that you sent that Chris Price sent.
Okay, cool. Thanks. All right. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for coming in today for the Willamette Federwig meeting. And want to just quickly review the agenda, and then we can go around the room, briefly introduce each other. Kind of our standard agenda. We're going to talk about the status of each of our projects briefly, and then going over Cougar specifically today as our focus project. We have some meeting notes to check in on from last month. Since those were just provided about a week ago, I had mentioned when I emailed those out that we would ask for comments like a week after today.
Wasn't the last meeting in February?
Yeah, those are the final notes from the previous meeting, and the February 14th notes are the ones that were currently out for review. Thanks, Melissa.
Do you want me to get all that up in the agenda?
I guess the question would be on February 14th notes, does anyone have comments today you want to talk about?
We do have comments. We have a couple more that we're finalizing, and then we can email them to you this afternoon.
Okay. Anything you want to mention for the groups?
Shattering.
Nothing earth-shattering. Okay. All right. I had a couple wordsmiths myself, but nothing substantial either. So before we dive in, just to check in on each project and then get into Cougar specifically, why don't we go around the room? I'm Rich Pyskowski, Corps of Engineers.
Daniel Spear, BPA.
Erica Tarbox, Corps of Engineers.
Melissa Jenick, National Marine Fisheries Service. Diana Dishman, National Marine Fisheries Service.
Chloe James, Corps of Engineers.
Elizabeth Hall, Corps of Engineers.
Keith Kurgenall, NAMS.
Christy Fortuny, Corps of Engineers.
Carter Walker, Corps of Engineers.
Aaron Kovalchuk, Corps of Engineers.
Liza Wells, Corps of Engineers.
Nicholas Knutson, Corps of Engineers.
Is there anybody else from the Corps of Engineers here today?
Was Sean going to show up?
He did mention trying to come, but I didn't hear him.
Sean's on a selection panel this week.
Okay.
And they've been sort of secured.
So he's probably tied up.
Yeah, I think he's stuck today.
But we do have one other from the Corps, Fenton Kahn, on the phone. Does anyone need an agenda?
I would.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Brought a couple extra copies. They're all set. Okay. Attached yesterday, I think it was, I sent out an updated project kind of schedule chart. See, I think I brought a hard copy.
Head on to...
Yes.
Yeah.
So we, as we talk about each project, you guys can refer to this chart and make any notes you'd like on that.
Do you have an extra of that?
I didn't bring extras on this, but you're welcome to look at mine.
I came up over the weekend.
So why don't we go through each project specifically and...
Can I make my glass?
Which one's the first listed on that chart?
Cougar.
We'll save Cougar. What's the next one?
Detroit temperature control.
Okay, Detroit, you want to...
Yes, so yep. Detroit, is it temperature control that shows up first?
Yes,
so we've got, well, I might talk about Detroit downstream passage EDR. That's what we talked about last month. We've got it with BPA for review right now. Dan, I think we asked for comments by Friday, and then we'll get that out for the agency review. What do I say, mid-March to mid-April? Temperature control, 30% DDR. We're expecting to get that out for the water review in May. That's as far out as we're going here. The next milestones are in December, I think. So,
have any of those changed, or all those the same?
I updated this for Rich, so this is the most current.
Yeah. Right. Thanks, Christy. And so, like last month, we had the presentation from the group, and included, I remember on the notes, it listed some of the areas that were discussed that I think the team is trying to also incorporate into the EDR before it comes out for review.
Right.
Yeah. So I thought that was a good meeting and a good discussion, and so that set us up for, I think, a good review when the EDR comes out.
Right.
Pretty quick. The other project before we dive into Cougar is Foster Fish Weir, which is under construction. Natalie sent me a couple of notes on that. Schedule's proceeding as planned. Some of the specifics, she says, framework and rebar placement is ongoing for numerous concrete placements and the pre-sort and facility water supply. I should say, at
Chris,
the pre-sort.
You're talking about Fall Creek, right? Not Foster Fish Weir.
That doesn't sound like Foster.
Did I say Foster?
You said Foster.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to say, I'm confused.
At least you didn't say a different F word.
We are ahead of ourselves.
That would be a first.
I was going to be shocked that it would be under construction. Yeah,
they still start with an F. I'm sorry. That's my only excuse. Fall Creek Fish Facility. So framework and rebar placement is ongoing at the pre-sort and facility water supply building. Concrete placement for pre-sort pool wall scheduled for, she says, 7th March today. Excavation has started for the post-sort area. Offsite fabrication is ongoing at Greenberry for the miscellaneous metal. Contractor is working 5 days per week, 10 hours per day.
Wow.
So I'll give this to you for the notes, Aaron.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. But you can have that if you want now. Do you guys have any questions you would want to bring back for Natalie on the Fall Creek construction? Okay. Anything else then for Detroit or Foster specifically for now?
Foster, I can give a quick update, Rich.
For Foster Weir? Yeah,
great.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Well, we're first of all, thanks to the agencies for the review and comment on our 90% and 6% plans and specs. We will address those comments in our next round of reporting, and also incorporating it, whatever comments we receive, and I don't have the list in front of me, but we'll incorporate them, and then I'll send out the usual comment and response so you can see how we responded to your comments. And we're moving along as far as the design goes. We're moving along. We're probably about maybe 80% now. And I don't know if folks want to get back into the discussion of why we're designing the weir with that at the minimum of 300 CFS. That was one of the burning comments that we received from both NIMS and ODFW. I can try to explain it again some more, or we can talk about it when the next report comes out. Does folks want to discuss that?
I think we understood why. I think what we're suggesting back was that we see the normal operation starting at 500 CFS, that looks, you know, with all of information lined up to be the best passage start.
Yeah, and Melissa, that is the intention. Remember, we started out with design and we were at 500, and actually it's 530 CFS because we have to pass an extra 30 CFS of water, so we gain 30 CFS of the weir. It's now 530 CFS, and that would be the standard operation, but the reason we had to design it with having the ability to operate between 300 and 860, again, is if there was a really low water year, dry year, we would have the ability to still operate the weir rather than closing it. So,
right.
But the intention is that we will clearly put that in our report. If it's not already clear, we'll make it clear that the intention is to operate the weir at 530 CFS during the operational period.
Right, and that was the PDT recommendation too, if I recall right. You were pretty clear about that. I think they all those comments actually help each other in terms of the minimum operation. The PDT, right, made the recommendation in there. Isn't that correct?
Yeah. The 530 CFS is what we landed on from way back in the EDR phase. We were calling it 500 CFS, and then once we started figuring out the amount of water we need to pass during the different times of the year for minimum flows and this, that, and the other, we came up with an extra 30 CFS that we couldn't put anywhere else. We said, oh, look, we just gained another 30 CFS for the fish weir. So it's actually 530 CFS, and that will be the operation.
Yeah, I think that I actually see them as complementary comments, really, because the PDT recommended it, we recommended it, so, you know, moving forward, it looks like everybody's in alignment.
Yeah, I think to be clear, though, is what was discovered in the last couple of months during the planning phase for Foster Weir is there are times hydrologically that we will have to potentially dip below that 500, although the expected operation, the normal operation is 5 or 530. We're needing to design for 300 for those times when we're tight, and we want to avoid that. We need to get it operating and figure out the best way to avoid that, but that's why the design includes down to 300.
Yeah, I think we're just trying to be a cheerleader, you know, and be in there with the recommendation from PDT. I really, maybe they feel like the comments are in opposition to what it says in the document, but I feel like it's pretty complimentary.
Okay.
Yeah, we're good. And we'll make sure that we you know, make sure that it's all clearly written in the next round of reporting.
Yeah, sounds good.
And then the only other thing I wanted to add, Stephanie had asked me at our last, I don't remember now if it was last Armony or Fitterwick, but whatever last meeting we had about a schedule, just mainly for looking into the crystal ball and planning, and we don't have a written schedule as yet. We will probably include it in our next report. But just for the Fitterwick team to know, we're still hoping, not hoping, but we are on schedule to have the contract awarded for construction of the weir before the end of this FY. So before September, the plan is to have the contract out the door. And then during the fall, the contractor would build a fish weir, and then we would implement it next spring. So spring of 2018, we would start the post-construction Armony studies to evaluate the operation. So that's kind of the general schedule, and Stephanie wanted me to share that with the team because she and I spoke before she went on vacation. So award construction before September. The weir will be built during the fall and winter and be ready, delivered to Foster around February to start testing in beginning of March.
Excellent.
Questions, comments? Fenton, you're doing a good job.
You're doing a good job, Fenton.
Oh, I'm surprised nobody asked for cookies.
I was just about to ask. We need to re-look at our schedule and figure out when you're in town. So
this never happens.
Yeah, well, this is really just terrible.
Next month, I'm going to make cookies.
What kind?
Gluten-free.
What kind of a cookie? Actually, I've had good gluten-free cookies. I'd love to have a gluten-free cookie. All right, Finn, thanks a lot. That sounded good.
Yep.
A recap for notes. I had a date when I sent those notes out, I think it was a week after today, I want to say. But we'll clarify after the meeting we'd like to have notes, any note comments in for our February 14th meeting so we can wrap those up. And then I think with that, we're ready to shift to our focus on Cougar. And
do you want to drive?
So Erica Tarbox, our technical lead on this project, shared a presentation I emailed out yesterday, Fenton, and so you should have a copy.
Raise his chair up, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
I'll be fine.
Feels good.
Okay, so we're going to be talking about the current status of Cougar Downstream Passage, what the team's been working on, what their current focus is. I am the technical lead. Chris Badai is our PM for the project. Okay, so today our discussion will focus on the current design focus and the current design goals that relate. So those design goals are from our meeting in October and other discussions that we've had. So those are what we're currently focusing on. We'll talk about configuration, we're gonna talk about mooring, we're gonna talk about crew access, and we will also kind of recap concerns that we have with where we are right now. And this, I wanna, you know, we're in that design phase where these are the ideas we're working with, we're refining these ideas, these are not set in stone ideas. So our group is working on moving forward. And then we'll discuss next design steps, and then we can kind of talk about what was covered today. Okay, so we are designing a floating screen structure, and we will be having truck transport. That's the team's focus. Right now we have the PDT is focusing on configuration of the floating screen structure. And we are also working on the hydraulic connectivity to the water temperature control tower. We have an AE contractor that was brought on board as part of the EDR who is carrying over now into this ED, I'm in the DDR phase, whatever.
Foster, Fall Creek, whatever.
Yeah. It's all the same. The AE contractor? I could share who it is.
Elcon.
You don't have to write it. It's one of the AEs on our multi. It's a URS, yes. A team led by URS is the prime. I think they've got some folks from, they have some folks from
Alden. Is Alden?
But it's mostly naval architecture.
Okay. Yeah.
Because we don't have that capability in-house.
Okay.
So they're doing some of that work for
Thank
us.
You. Perfect. Thank you. And so the AE contractor has been tasked with providing us mooring alternatives, crew access alternatives, and alternatives with how to get the fish on off the structure. So to give them, here are the design goals that we're currently focusing on, which includes locating the entrance of the collector as near as possible to the dam or to the water temperature control tower so that we are orientated with the flow along the face of the dam. And we're gonna looking at a 20 to 30 foot weir submergence so we can catch the fish. We're looking at avoiding minimizing competing flows. We want to, that one does say we're looking at a artificial shoreline. We're not quite looking at artificial shoreline, but we're looking at possible alternatives for minimizing fish getting behind the structure, and I'll mention that later. We are the overhanging, so we've taken that into consideration, and during our design we're kind of making sure that we aren't providing that area where where the fish think there might be a predator or something along those lines. Debris management is going to be very critical. That's something we'll probably have a working meeting on this week to kind of to start discussions about debris management and how we're going to be handling debris. We had a visit to North Fork, and even with all their debris management, they still had debris in their holding tanks down 7 miles down. They still had twigs and stuff. So debris is going to be a big one for us. And then also we want to maximize the hydraulic signature so that we are optimizing for fish attraction at our entrances so that we don't have those competing flows between the tower and our fish collector. So those are kind of what we're focusing on during this phase of design. So this here is just a starting point. You don't need to be able to read this figure. It's blurry. The concept is this is Lower Baker, and Lower Baker was designed to pass 500 CFS. We're passing 1,000 CFS. So as a starting point, we took Lower Baker, blew it up. It's 180 feet long, and it's 60 feet wide. And this is the starting point this is the starting point we gave to the AE contractor so that they can have something for designing the moorings, so that the moorings are going to be the biggest they're going to be. Our footprint is the biggest it's going to be. Our design team is then looking, the PDT is looking at options and alternatives for shrinking this footprint. So we're looking at the use of multiple entrances. We're looking at changing the raceway so that they're just not linear, that maybe we have some sinuosity to the raceway so that we can shrink that footprint and get the entrances as close as possible to the water temperature control tower. This here is a mooring alternative that was submitted by the AE contractor. So we've been working with them for a couple of months, and through our discussions, we've looked at anchors, we've looked at winched anchoring, like using winches to moor the structure. We've looked at using an anchor to moor the structure. And we've landed on using a three-point fixed mooring connection. So here you can see this alternative one uses battered piles. So this is a pile here. That pile is 8 foot in diameter, and it's 270 feet tall. So that's the same for this pile and batters. And then you have a stair tower here, which is a 30 by 30, which could approximately go up to 40 by 40. This is a huge mooring footprint. And we understand that as a design team, so yeah.
Why is the footprint so big at the stage?
Because the structure is so big, and that it's needed to keep a small watch circle so that it's not moving all around. And that's why the other options like the use of the anchor or the winch system were not used, because we have that huge fluctuation in the reservoir. The angles are really hard to maintain, and your watch circle, your movement is so large, it would really affect our hydraulic connection to the water temperature control tower.
And the watch circle would be sort of the natural movement of the device as it's moored to something that's going to
move. Right, as it moves around based on the wind and stuff like that.
Gotcha.
And as we get down lower, you know, at low pool, that area is very small.
It
shrinks down because, you know, we've got Mount Rush over there. And
yeah, we have the mountain over here that slopes in. We've got, you can see these contour lines. This dotted line here is the heel of the dam. So we are already having discussions with dam safety about placing of these mooring piles and concerns about them in the heel or proximity to the heel. I think this might be the best spot to talk about one of the alternatives our PDT is looking at is a multiple entrance setup so that we, in hopes, could shrink this footprint down. We would think about putting an entrance here that would pass 300 or 400 CFS. It'd be a smaller entrance. And then we'd have an entrance towards the front that would pass the 1,000 CFS. and looking at a channel system that is sinuous so that we could shorten the footprint down. And then we'd incorporate this stair tower and use the hillside to somehow prevent fish and water from passing around this way. So that's one alternative we're looking at. And we have a couple other multiple entrance configurations that the team is also looking at to hopefully shrink the footprint.
Erica,
yes.
the kind of that last comment about fish going around it, I missed. What was the way to avoid that?
So this is that stair tower. We would make it so that the water couldn't flow through the stair tower here.
Okay.
And then we build some type of head wall. And these are just design ideas we are developing right now. Build some type of head wall that prevents the fish from passing over here. I don't know how we'd prevent fish from passing between the boat and the stair tower at this time.
Okay, thanks.
But this would be like a concrete or steel head wall. So this is the... second mooring alternative that we're looking at. This uses the three battered piles. Again, these are the 8-foot diameter, 270 feet tall. So this is fish removal and crew access. Currently, there's talks of using a monorail, which is a big structure that would be used to not only to remove fish from the floating screen structure, but it would also be used for crew access. So the crew would walk in on the top, possibly here, and come in down the stair tower to access the floating screen structure. This here is our hydraulic connectivity to the water temperature control tower. And this would be 270 feet towards the top of those. Well, I think there's another photo coming in. So here in the handout, you can see this is the monorail. I actually can't see that very well.
You got it?
Yeah, I got it here. Okay. So yeah, this is the use of the monorail. So you've got floating screen structure here, you've got your flume hydraulically connecting you to the tower. This here would be your hopper, so this would come out to here, come down to the boat, pick up the fish, come out, and then bring it up to this location. And this isn't perfect yet. We are possibly going to work with operations to look again at placing the truck transport location back on the tower so that it's not out here in the parking lot, and shortening up the monorail, but that's going to be in discussions. So there is the monorail.
I had a question about the monorail. Could you sort of paint like a word picture of what it looks like? If there's a whole bunch of fish and they're kind of going up this monorail thing. Are they like in like a...
They're in a hopper.
They're in a hopper, so like in kind of like a big old basket, and kind of up the basket goes with the fish in it. And then,
yep. So you're going to have a hopper on the floating screen structure. Basically, a crane hook's going to come over. Either it's going to be enclosed. I'm assuming it's going to be enclosed. They're going to pick up the hopper off the floating screen structure and take it all the way up to the truck. Ideally, they just place that hopper on the truck and they drive away, or there would have to be a water-to-water transfer.
Gotcha.
But we're nowhere near that level of detail yet.
The hopper sounds like it could be a pretty serious thing itself. Maybe there'd be kind of multiple hoppers.
Yep, there's actually... Oh, it doesn't show it in here. There would be possibly 4 hoppers.
Okay.
There's going to be at least 2, one for large fish, one for small fish. Depending on how many raceways we have coming in and how they get split up, there could be 4.
Gotcha.
Erica, can you just go back? I just want to confirm the area you're looking at for real estate. There's a line, on the intake tower. We have that semicircular piece.
Yeah.
Okay, all of that is not the deck that you're looking at, correct? part of that is the top of the tower is up here and
right.
the intake
there's,
deck is
there's
there.
A variation in height.
Right, okay, I just, and you're asking for...
The lower deck, and that's where we'd need to talk with operations about how, we just need to verify that that's truly not a, okay, an acceptable place to go.
I had that discussion last week.
With mm-hmm. operations folks, okay. So right now that's what we're looking at, is out here. So this one would be a hopper barge, which would be similar to what they have at Swift, where they have the barge that goes from the FSS to the tower, and then it gets on some type of monorail system that would pick it up at the side of the tower here, versus having the monorail come all the way out here and pick it up off of the FSS. This would be the hopper gets on a barge and gets boated, barged over to this location where then it's picked up by the crane, the monorail, wheeled over to here, and then placed on the truck.
And the hopper comes out there with the crane? How does the hopper come off the FSS?
It's a kind of a pulley system, similar to what they have at Swift, where it gets onto a barge that runs on cables from the FSS that pulls it back to the tower. And then it pulls it into this location where the monorail would then, or the crane would come down and pick it up and take it on this rail system.
Would you have issues with the monorail with boat moving at all?
You mean the
monorail, to me, in my brain, it's more like a train track type of mm-hmm. solid assembly, right?
Right, but it's attached to the mooring piles.
Okay.
So it's connected, the monorail is fixed here and fixed here.
Okay.
So you would...
So it just sort of hovers over the top of
it. Yeah, so it's at the top. The boat will be down there moving, and that's why we need that smaller watch circle,
okay.
is so that we're not moving way over here when we need to pick up the hopper. Yeah. For this one, crew access, I believe, is on a stair system. Even I can't even read it here. I believe there's a stair system with this where we're using the barge plan that the crew would walk down here and then use somehow access the floating screen structure.
I think it was a floating walkway.
A floating walkway. But they would still be required to come out here, get to the stair system, walk down to whatever level the FSS was at that time. And this is just an elevation view of that. So here you have your barge system in here, and then your stairs here for crew access. And then this is showing the hopper being picked up out of the FSS, moved over to the barge, slid over to where it would then be picked up again and taken to the truck.
That tower is enclosed.
Which tower?
The stairs, the 220.
I don't know that. We're not
feet.
At that design level. So some alternatives that have been reviewed is the use of the duck boat. And the theory here with this would be for crew access, and this would be for hopper removal from the barge. So you would take it possibly, you know, back your duck boat up, place the hopper onto the duck boat goes to a road, drives up the backside of the dam, drives to the disposal location. There was also talks about the duck boat being used for transporting the hopper from the FSS to another location where a crane maybe reaches down, picks up the hopper, and puts it on a different truck, and then that truck drives it to the release location. But this alternative is not being developed at this time.
Is anyone aware of those being used for that purpose in other projects?
Oh, that's a good question. I am not aware of it, but does anyone else know of duck boats being used anywhere?
Well, I know of deck booth being used, but not for this.
In terms of the duck boat finding a road at the lower elevations, would that have to be that kind of switchbacky road that's kind of at the face of the dam?
Yes, which
okay.
is... What?
Which is a little precarious.
Yes, and that was kind of the reason this one was no longer developed, was that that's a precarious situation. Also, during the winter months, going down from the
yeah.
top of the dam down that road could be
precarious,
a tough situation.
Iced over.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Was there an option considered of having a cable barge all the way to the essentially parking lot? Like, was there a reason it went only to the monorail and not all, like that you couldn't do that barge system all the way?
Barge.
Sorry, went in one of your options mm-hmm. was that cable barge you said?
Yeah, cable barge that goes from the FSS to the tower and then that picks it up.
Was there a reason you couldn't do that all the way to your truck location, I guess? Your truck
elevation.
Yeah.
Can't get close enough, especially when you're down at low pool. You've got a big distance
yeah,
between the reservoir.
If a crane was going to pick it up, it was totally too far.
Yeah.
And that was another alternative. I mean, we've thought about using a crane, but the placement of the crane would present a blind pick situation, and so a crane seems to kind of be out as one of our options. So these current concerns with what we've talked about, configuration. Right now, that 180 feet is too far from the water temperature control tower, so the team is working on minimizing that footprint by multiple entrances, sinuous channels, and with that 180 feet, if that's as big as we're going to get, but the problem is once we start dropping at elevation, we get really close to Rush Island, and at that point, I don't even know if the water would be flowing at lower elevations between the end of the FSS and Rush Island, just because it sits out there so far and topography.
So is the 60 feet about it?
That's the width, the 180 feet.
Yeah, I mean, can you go any wider at all?
You know, we could possibly go wider.
I'm just trying to picture the sinuosity and how that works.
Yeah, and that's, I didn't present that today because I don't have an idea of what size footprint we're going to be able to achieve by making the channels like that, and the team's still working on that.
And that 180 doesn't include the flume, does it?
The 180 includes...
No, we have, and then there's a flume access to the tower. Is that part of the 180?
That does not include the
so
flume.
So it's really
connection.
Further out, even
it
further
is further
than
out
that.
Because it doesn't. It only accounts for the structure
that's
itself.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good point. So however long that flume is going to be, put this out that much further.
Melissa, as a non-engineer, can you tell me what you were thinking a little bit more when you said the width of the structure and dealing with and working on, was it sinuosity?
I was going off one of the ideas generated, just trying to picture it in my head and picture it in that footprint. It seems to me it will need to go wider if you have, you know, more length of, you know, you're trying to convey fish through.
I'm thinking
channels.
Yeah, like more like the FSS for Detroit where we did make it fatter because we do have that big curb in there, right? If you shape it, it kind of gets
and
that way.
The other thing
sorry.
I'm not sure is the reference to the
yep.
20 to 30 foot submergence on the weir. So is there a drop inlet structure on this one as well?
We are following, right now, we're kind of following what Detroit has going, where they have that weir that's about 20 feet down. We haven't developed the idea far enough where we're like, yes, that's what we're doing.
Yeah, the concerns I think that you would want to watch for would be to have, you know, water speed up and then slow down in that channel, especially with the available predators that are there. You want to make sure that you don't set up a situation there that just allows them to
hang out,
park. Yeah.
Melissa, do you mean if you were to get inside the channel and have a holding spot for them, or
yeah,
you think about outside?
But Detroit, they go over the weir and then they go into a wider channel and it slows down.
So you're talking about inside?
Right. Yeah, inside the structure.
Drop.
Just
yeah.
because they've made it into the gate
yeah.
doesn't really.
You don't want them hanging
hit
inside.
The goal. Yeah.
Because they're developing that kind of pond almost. In
yes.
Once they drop in, they have that pond, settling pond for their debris. And at our meeting tomorrow, we're going to be discussing that idea and the debris settling out. And, but so that's a good point to bring up now, that that's something that if a predator did get in, they could really kind of live in there for...
I think multiples of them would get in there and just hold, you know, hold and eat. What?
Buffet.
Yeah. So we just want to be mindful to keep velocities up high enough that we don't allow any holding habitat.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Are you done with the presentation? Is that kind of like a concluding question? But do you have more?
No, I do have more. Okay. I was going,
Melissa was asking about width, and I thought maybe it would be helpful to bring up the plan view so you guys could talk about
I mean, there's that. There's this one as well.
So how far from the beginning of screen is this drop inlet?
I don't know if your team is actually looking. Unfortunately, Erica's hydraulic engineer isn't here today, but I'm not really sure that you guys are doing exactly that same with the weir there. Mm-hmm. I think what I've heard is you're looking at doing multiple entrances along the sides.
We are.
It'll
probably be totally clear to me the next round.
Yeah.
We're not there yet with the development. Yeah. But I do think we might. I don't know. I don't know what my hydraulic, what they're looking
curious.
At.
Any other ideas from the group then? I mean, I just thought you mentioned multiple entrances might help with that distance on of the structure,
right.
The length of the structure, and maybe a design with sinuosity. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to double check if anyone had other thoughts about how to address or reduce the length.
I really think if you put artificial shorelines out there, the length becomes less of an issue. You've got, you know, a containment out there with some nice guide nets.
I believe the length was added for the reduction of the ability to suck the fish up against the screens.
Right.
You know,
I want to say the porosity, but it's not fry criteria.
We don't have fry criteria anymore. All our criteria is 0.4. So is that's a great question. Are you guys...
And I do remember them discussing the 0.4.
It for 0.4, it needs to be...
Right, and that's our focus right now. That's our goal, is to get there.
And it's my understanding it's that criteria. If we're bringing in 1,000, it took that long to get the criteria.
Right. And yeah, that's correct. That's why it's so long, is because that gets us to that criteria.
So Melissa, you were saying at the entrance of the guide nets, I think is what I heard you say, for creating shoreline.
Oh, I really think that that's going to be key here. I think it's really going to be helpful.
And I think that kind of comes later in the process. I mean, right now we're looking at this, and then it's the possibility of adding pumps in the future, and then possibly guide nets. I think there's a hierarchy of...
It's just that I think that for me, the focus has changed since seeing how things are working at North Fork and learning more information about that. And then just some of the physical issues we have here, like projecting out from the tower. I really think that I would throw that out there as a great recommendation to maybe even go forward with that first off.
Okay. Well, I think, I mean,
maybe some savings in there.
Maybe some folks can have discussions about that. That sounds about above my level.
Well, me too. I think it's a great technical comment. I really do. But I thought I would throw it out there on the table. I mean, Rich has been listening to me.
No, that's something the team has on the list as a biologist and thinking of it technically. We don't, unfortunately, have spring Chinook in a similar situation that we can really look and say, guide nets. They're really responding to these in a similar way that we have here at Cougar. Doesn't mean that they won't, but it's an area of uncertainty. And because we're high in the watershed, these fish are going to be milling quite a bit. They're rearing. Some of them are ready, some of them are not at any one point in time. And how they respond out there further in the cul-de-sac when they come down, if it's only a guide net, would they move beneath it? So maybe ultimately, to really be effective, I'm just talking out loud here, it does need to be exclusionary. And I know that the team has mentioned from an engineering and operational standpoint, exclusion nets we're really concerned about. So it then takes us to, well, these might not have to then become a fixed structure. These are just some thoughts.
Yeah, I think, you know, and not to dabble in different areas because they are many groups through, but I really think there's some opportunity there
to look test
at North Fork and structures are there, just see how they behave, how fish behave, and track along those guide nets, because the spillway guide net's not exclusionary.
Right. Yeah, and there's some active work happening this year at Swift. They did do some testing with the new lead net. We're looking forward to seeing those results, and I know additional studies are going in. At least I think it's at Swift.
Yep. Not to hijack your...
Yeah. It's a discussion.
Okay. I don't know if this is the time we talk about fish access, but when you go to the tower for the crew access...
Mm-hmm.
Somebody looked at that distance.
It's quite a distance. You're talking about walking down those steps.
224 feet. It's about 20 flights.
Yeah. To get down, you're talking at the lowest fishing
depth. Yeah, at the lowest, which, you know, is in the fall, mm-hmm. which is when we tend to do most of the fish.
Right. And then
I don't know if we can pull them up in the thing or add in an elevator into the tower.
We're not at that design point yet. But that has been brought up.
Yeah, we made those comments in Dr. Chaz.
Those comments have been made, and I know that is a concern of the operating project. Okay, so mooring size, 8-foot diameter, 270 feet tall, is a really big mooring. And it's located near the heel in some cases and in the heel in other cases, and so that's a concern of the design teams.
Obviously, other than it's big and probably really expensive, why is that a concern?
Because Cougar Dam has some, and I don't know, someone
it's
else.
It's an earthen dam.
It's an earthen dam and once you're placing anything in the heel of the dam, it becomes a dam safety concern.
Okay.
If we can avoid it, it'll be good. Would probably require us to have approval from someone other than anybody in the room.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to have to go.
Maybe
to change.
I don't know.
And then with the plan right now for fish removal and crew access, we have reliability concerns with the monorail and wind and maintenance and all the concerns that come along with having such a mechanical system out there operating. There's a possibility that we'd need some special type of operator certification for operation of the monorail or the cranes, or so that's, yeah, icing could be a definite issue. And then competing flows. This is actually something I didn't touch on earlier, but let's see what my next slide is. We are, you know, there's definitely that concern about competing flows between the what's coming through the FSS and what's going through the water temperature control tower. And that will be followed up in our next design steps. So we're planning on, and I'm not saying this information isn't out there because I think there's been a lot of studies done. But as a team, we really need to wrap our heads around determining the max, minimum, and average flows that are leaving the reservoir each month and kind of where those sit. We want to be looking at when those flows are leaving, how are they leaving? Are they leaving through the water temperature control tower? Are they leaving through the RO? How else are they getting out? And then this comes to competing flows to see if there's alternative methods for how we can operate the water temperature control tower to reduce competing flows with the FSS, so maybe we can pass all the flow through the FSS and not through the water temperature control tower. Well, it'd still go through there, but not through the other two slots. And so the team is working on gathering up all that information and checking out those ideas.
And Eric, one of those two, is it operating the RO and the FSS simultaneously so that the FSS is drawing from the surface, and then the additional flow is drawing from down at depth.
Correct. And so that's part of the team is kind of realizing, okay, during these months, we're only drawing through the water temperature control tower, or we're only, I don't know where the flows leave the reservoir at. I don't have my mind fully wrapped around that. So just kind of figuring out what percentage of flows is leaving through which route.
Okay.
And then hydraulically connecting to the water temperature control tower is going to be our next big, really getting that figured out, and debris management.
So you're going to have active cleaning systems on this machine?
Yes, there'll need to be some form of screen cleaners or backwashing, or there'll also probably need to be something similar to the North Fork where there's a crane system and a debris barge. I'm expecting that there'll probably be debris booms out in the reservoir somewhere to start breaking down the amount of debris coming through. It's going to be a multiple level type of attack.
Eric, where's the team on in the design with how far down in elevation the FSS would operate? Would it operate throughout the full range of the tower and the RO intake, or would it only go down to the bottom of the tower elevation and then the RO would operate below that?
So I believe we will be operating down to
1532.
Is that what it is? 15. It's Donovan Conservation Pool, which is 1532.
Okay. And then the RO.
That was the plan, because that involves modifying the tower so that we can do that hydraulic connection. We only have a hydraulic connection through the existing weirs down to 1561. That's the sill of that temperature control tower. So we would have to modify the low down.
Correct.
And I think that's the current plan.
Yep, that is the current plan, is to work on that modification, which the timber
okay.
The team is looking at.
Okay, thanks. So full operating range, effectively.
Hopefully. Yeah, that's the goal currently. Okay. That's what I have to present.
All right.
What kind of fish is it?
It's a green one.
Is that spring chinook?
So I got kind of the foundational question. I recall at kind of the brainstorming-ish meeting that we all had at the course offices several months ago.
Yeah. You gotta go.
So inspiration just lets itself in. I felt like there was a bit of a aha sort of light bulb moment that the course's engineers had with regards to high head collection devices generally working better if they're kind of closer to the dam and possibly even sort of embedded into the dam, somewhat akin to like the corner collector at Bonneville. And so now what you presented today seems like it's incorporated a little bit of that, but you have a bit more of the kind of classic Baker style collector that's kind of sticking out a little bit. So I just wonder if you could describe some of the thought processes and analyses that led away from possibly this kind of corner collector style thing to more of a in the reservoir type collector.
Yeah.
And I don't think we've moved away from that. So I wish Sean was here, because he was doing a good job explaining it to us last week. But
okay.
The configuration that Erica showed you is the maximum size.
Gotcha.
We had to give the AE something
okay.
to work on for the mooring, so they're working on that maximum size.
Gotcha.
Erica's team is working on all the things that she talked about, you know, bringing that in, getting that closer.
Okay.
So please don't go away with this thinking that's our final configuration.
Okay.
We're
okay.
trying to shrink it. The 30% I don't think is until May, June-ish. It's
yeah.
the summer time frame.
Okay.
So we just want to kind of give you guys an update, show what we're working on, what we're thinking about, get your
okay.
input, because we want everybody's
yeah.
input. This is hard stuff.
What I heard too, Dan, I'm not on the team, but they are still focusing on those areas of risk or concern in the design, and that was, I think, slide 3 You know, the team is working to avoid or minimize competing flows or false attraction, excluding fish from areas that would limit their ability to find the entrance or get behind the system, create an artificial shoreline, although we're not maybe focusing on hardened structures yet, but nets possibly.
Yeah, I think it's more we're trying to, if we went with that stair tower mooring system, we're looking at making that so that flow doesn't pass through, and then we have that wall that kind of prevents them. So I know nets have been thrown around and they're out there and
still being worked.
Yeah.
and preventing ability for predators to get under an overhanging structure. Those things are still all part of the design considerations.
Mm-hmm. And isn't some of it the EDR said thou shalt look at the FSS? So we're looking at the FSS.
Yeah, there was, years ago when I was more involved in LIDSA with them and PDT. There was a corner collector that was looked at inside the tower.
I was just talking to Erica the other day and showing her. I took her back.
Showed
her all, because the team was kind of sketching something up, and I said, boy, that looks awfully familiar. I think we looked at MIS, multiple inclined screens inside the tower. We looked at a Coleman screen inside. Do you remember that?
Yep.
Yeah, we had a Coleman screen inside
really
the tower. That's way back. And those were all ideas that we were talking about that would use the face of the tower as the inlet, right? Right now, the team is focused on a floating structure that's outside of the tower. There's some pluses and minuses to that. Christy did a good job of explaining why the AE is kind of out ahead with this bigger structure. We'll look at the worst case.
Right.
Is the mooring even
a doable
thing? Because we didn't look at hardened mooring options so far. We don't have the naval architects to do that, so they're trying to take a look at that's even.
Yeah.
Is that going to blow our cost out of the water? Is that even...
Right.
Possible and
right, and I think the portable floating fish collectors kind of taught us that the normal anchoring system that we've seen on the other collectors with the winches and the lines, it really doesn't work for cougar.
Yeah.
I mean, we broke one of the anchors right off the bat because there's 180 degrees,
mm-hmm.
and how do you design something that goes through that range? So that's why we're kind of leaning towards the more hardened anchorage points, and so I think. Yeah.
Team had some creative thinking to do to figure out how to make that structure get tighter. And they're going to need support in that process. So.
Yeah, because you're going to need if you've got a lot of movement, even aside from whether or not you've got safety issues or not, but just getting that monorail, if you use the monorail option,
mm-hmm.
somewhere close to where you want it.
Yeah.
Have it. Kind of interesting. I pictured a big open area for it, just a general platform. I don't know how that'll look. I try to picture a lot of the stuff. Okay. Thanks.
Thanks, Erica.
Thank you, guys.
Anybody else have any comments or questions on Cougar? Any sort? Okay, yeah, those are interesting slides and good update, thanks. So I really, at this point, wish Fenn had brought cookies.
I've got a comment.
Oh, good.
It's not something we have to figure out here, but I wanted to say that knowing that we do have a lot to do on Cougar to work on that, what that structure is going to look like, I'd like us to figure out at some point how that's going to become something where we can get some more input. I think maybe Keith and I can talk about that a little bit. And Erica, you and Chris can think about when you guys will be at the point where you guys can sit down a little bit at the table. And
yeah, that was kind of my next spot. We do. We do. And so that was where I wanted to go to in this next. What is the next steps?
When's the right time for that?
What I see at the end here are the areas that you guys are continuing to work, your design next steps.
Right, and we're continuing to work these. I mean, these are just additions coming on.
Well, thinking about what you're currently working on and the timing of that, the way we've been treating it is special fitter wigs, unless it falls on, we have the time in our normal monthly meeting. So we will schedule another special meeting if necessary, but at any rate, what does it look like in terms of your work flow to be getting some progress on these designs and bringing some ideas back for a workshop?
That we could be doing a workshop. We have something. Possibly mid to late May.
Okay. Maybe better would better to talk through a little bit more here on what are the things that you're going to be working. You're working on the hydrology, the operations, and maybe just a recap on those areas that you're
right.
Working.
So we're this here with the next design step. So not only are we going to work on getting this kind of get a design set that we're going to go this way with it. is we're also going to be looking at debris management. We're going to be looking at entrance configuration and how that plays into
the footprint.
A footprint of the structure. We want to be looking at the flow. Well, I think there's a bunch of data and information out there. We just need to get that all collected, and it's possibly all in the EDR, but I just really want to bring it to the team's mind that, you know, this is what our max and our min and our average flow is, and in June it's leaving through these two routes, and in August it's leaving this way, and so really understanding how the reservoir works and what elevations we expect to be at for.
Entrance configuration, that's multiple entrances, and is that also maybe the sinuosity?
Yep.
You're going to have something maybe in later May?
Hopefully.
Well, you know, and the interesting thing about sinuosity is couldn't you wrap that back near the tower and then have it pull through to the collector? I mean, that's the other thing, too.
Possibly. You're
just looking at your footprint, it's kind of where my brain was going, too. It's like sinuosity and screens might be really difficult to manage when you're passing fish and trying to control hydraulics in such a fine way. But potentially having the entrance at the tower, but pulling it back through and into the, that would require all the fish to miss it on purpose. I don't know. Does that make sense, Lisa?
Are you saying put the entrance out in front of the tower, but put the screen off to the side?
Well, the screen can sit, you know, somewhere else.
Right, but you put the entrance in front of the tower and then put the dewatering screen somewhere else.
That's kind of
Detroit. When you said I'm thinking Detroit.
It depends on where you put it. It gets tight over to the. Because if you're looking at the tower, it gets really tight to the right side.
Yeah.
Because we get into rock over there. But that's the kind of thing that I think people need to be thinking about. And I know the team is doing some of that. I know they have. You guys had one great brainstorming session, but I think we need to get.
Seems like we've got to get some sketches.
Something to start with and then bang around some more ideas. Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe
but having what Erica said is important, having some of those facts and I would call them operating constraints, things we know about how we operate right now, so that that's available to the folks as you brainstorm would be helpful. So getting set up for that would be good.
Yeah.
Maybe at the April meeting, 1 month from now, Erica, we could just re-ask where you're at, and then be thinking, is it going to be the May meeting or a special meeting? And we can also check back with you if you have ideas, and Keith, on getting, you know, input efficiently and effectively. Okay. So we'll do the check-in next month's meeting, how far along you are with these areas that you're working.
Sure.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, I think we buzzed right through everything we had today. Anything anybody else has you want to touch on? Awesome. Well, thanks again, Erica. That's a good presentation.
Thanks, Rich. I like that.
Fenn, are you still with us? I thought I heard maybe. I heard a beep. Yeah. All right, cool. Thanks, everybody.